This call is being recorded.
Good morning. This is Jim Miller. And as a part of our Sunday morning worship service, we often invite people to the table there on the stage for a discussion. And in light of the current economic crisis that the coronavirus appears to be precipitating, I decided to invite Jeff Fields to the table. And he is a financial advisor with Central Bank, and he needs to make a couple of disclaimers for legal purposes, and he will do that at this time.
Yeah, I had mentioned to Jim that, you know, if we were there on the stage at Oasis, I wouldn't worry about this. But since this is being recorded, and would prefer actually this not to be reproduced or shared outside this group, but because it is recorded, I need to mention a few things just to make sure I steer clear of any compliance problems. Is that any of the, I am affiliated with Central Investment Center, part of Central Bank, and securities are offered through Raymond James Financial Services, who's a member of FINRA and the SIPC, an independent broker-dealer, and are not deposits of the bank, not insured by FDIC or any other government agency, not guaranteed by the bank, and is subject to risk and may lose value. Central Investment Center and Central Bank and Trust are not broker-dealers. And hopefully if this ever is noticed by someone affiliated with the compliance department, they'll know that I put in the proper disclaimers at the beginning. So. Here we go,
Jeff. I feel so much better that you made all those disclosures.
Well, we do. And, you know, what that is, because I am affiliated with a bank, we have extra disclaimers that other investment firms don't have to put in. So just make sure that people think that, okay, if they put money with our department, it's just because I'm an employee of a bank and in a bank building that it's subject to the same investment risk that any other investment firm would have. So.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Jeff. And I've also invited one of our elders to the table, Fred Morgan. So, Fred, are you there?
I am. I am indeed.
Good. Thank you. Thank you, both of you, for joining us. And, Fred, you just feel free to ask your questions at any point or make your comments along the way here. A couple days ago, someone said to me, I'm not even going to look at my retirement investment right now. Jeff, what do you think about that as a way of coping with the current drop in stock value?
Well, if someone was, you know, if it was set up initially in a prudent way, in a reasonable way, and they're not planning on, you know, using that money anytime soon, if it is truly retirement money, then that's honestly not a bad way to look at it. You know, tell the truth, I've not looked at, I went quite a while not looking at my own 401k that I have here at Central Bank, because, you know, it is time horizon is important. And again, now if it wasn't set up initially, if someone had it way overweighted and not diversified, then the need to keep a close look high on it. But, you know, hopefully it was set up to be able to withstand volatile times.
So if it's set up in the right kind of way, a good way to look at it is to not look at it.
Yeah, it's one of the things I often, when I talk to people, you know, in recent weeks, for a person who owns their own house here in Lexington, Kentucky, or the area, the value of their house may have probably dropped here in the last couple of weeks, you know, in terms of if you had to sell your house today versus if you had to sell it a month ago. In one day, you know, the value has dropped, but you don't worry about that because you don't see it. You don't get a statement from your realtor every month saying, here's what I can sell your house for today. And, you know, it's the value's still there. And so it's not the perfect analogy, but there's a part of that fits, I think.
Yeah. I find that helpful. My house probably isn't worth as much today as it was a month ago. But
so now I'm giving you something more to worry about that you didn't have before.
Right. I'm curious, Jeff, do you, as an investor, do you have a lot of worried people calling you?
A fair amount. I mean, I always have some, and there's been more lately, but it's not been it's not been that bad, I think, for a couple reasons. One, because, you know, for the most part, the people I'm working with, I've worked with for many years, and we've been through you know, difficult times before. This is, you know, unusual. But I've been in this business long enough to have, I was in the business during 9/11 and the tech bubble and then the 2008-2009 credit crisis. So a lot of the clients I work with, we've been through this before. But I think a lot of them too know that it's kind of like your first question about not looking at the retirement account, they don't want to talk to their advisor too. So it's kind of the same type of thing. I just don't even want to, I don't want to look at it, neither, nor do I want to talk about it. So that's true for a lot of people. I think there's a certain point people just get numb and don't want to talk about it. But there is, you know, there are some that are calling me. So, but that's what I'm here for. I mean, it's kind of like being in an airplane and you hit turbulence in the airplane. You kind of want to hear the pilot come on the intercom and you want him to sound bored. You know, you want him to sound bored and nonchalant you know, just a little turbulence. We'll be at, you know, Dallas Fort Worth here in an hour, whatever. And so that's sometimes I'm kind of filling that role.
Right. Yeah. So you've led people through crises before, but even before you were ever involved as a financial investor, there have been other times in history where this kind of thing has happened. Can you give us kind of a broad view of a historical perspective?
Well, you know, there are certain once in a great while, certain events, you know, the 1987, which was a little before I was in the business. 1987 had a 20% crash in one day, and I think the Friday before that, Monday, it was down like 5%. So that was, you know, a fourth of it, you know, down all in 2 days. Then 9/11 is an 08-09 credit crisis. There was a period in the mid 70s, that 12-month period, where it was similar to the 08-09 credit crisis, where it dropped about I think close to 50%, or not quite that much. The 08-09 year, 08 was the worst calendar year since the Great Depression. And so, I mean, that, you know, that's the other one that comes into context here of, you know, when we're making comparisons. But, so, I mean, there's, you know, these things happen, and, you know, hopefully folks were set up initially to be able to withstand them and, and not be not be too aggressive going in. So,
Can I ask you a question? So, so we got two like major factors that are kind of driving some of this. One is the COVID-19 pandemic, and the other is the oil war that has broken out between Saudi Arabia and Russia. Can you explain why there's so much market volatility right now, and how those things impact these crazy swings that we're having?
Yeah, the oil company, it's interesting that you bring that up. That is a factor that you don't hear near as much about it. For oil companies in particular, you know, you hear the term black swan events that are just extremely rare and almost never happen, and you can't see anything. And for oil companies, they've been hit with two black swans all at once. The virus situation and the all-out price war between Saudi Arabia and Russia. The market, one thing that relates to this that I often tell clients, the market, the stock market is never, the value and the prices and the level of the stock market is never a reflection of what's going on right now in the economy. It's more a reflection of what the biggest institutions think is going to be going on 6 or 9 months down the road. And so if oil drops a lot, just taking that one alone, if we get a huge drop of oil, the you know, obviously affects the oil companies, and the worry is that it will kind of be to use the buzzwords, contagious economically from oil companies, that oil companies start defaulting on loans and they start laying off people, and then so it starts affecting other industries beyond just the oil. And no one hardly ever feels sorry for oil companies, but honestly we don't want the oil companies suffering too much. You know, if they suffer too much, then other sectors start to suffer as well. And so it's a fear that is going to lead to more, you know, layoffs or defaults on loans and things like that. That'll affect other areas of the economy. And then the virus, you know, obviously we've seen how it just stopped the economic, you know, just stopped a lot of economic activity that we kind of take for granted. And so, so you know, the valuation on these things, you know, a lot of it's based on short term. You know, not everybody in the market, or not, you know, there's a lot of money in the market that's not retirement money, that's based on more short term trading goals and all that. And so decisions are made by big institutions sometimes not based on where things are going to be a year from now, but where things are going to be an hour from now. And so, and a lot of them on Wall Street, even if they're not personally in Wall Street in the generic sense, it could be office, could be anywhere, but, you know, the job number one is to keep your job. And so even if, you know, if you're managing money for somebody else and you're personally not concerned about it, but you're afraid they're going to be concerned about it, then you do things with their money that you may not do with your own. So it's really a lot of things go into that. So.
Yeah, that makes sense. So, along those same lines, if what we're seeing in the market, because the market it's not in the top five indicators of economic health for the nation, right? So the gross domestic product of the U.S. is 2/3 of it's like consumer spending. So it's not telling us what the state of the economy is today. It's telling us what people think it might be. And it looks like nobody really knows, because one day it's down 2,000, the next day it's up 1,500, and so on and so forth. Talking about the Dow Jones Industrials average.
It's not so much, I mean, nobody, you know, everybody knows the economy is going to go through a bad time. It'll take a few weeks or a month or two before we get the numbers on it. But, you know, everybody knows it's down and likely, you know, there will be a quarter or two of contraction, which is a recession. And so the days that are up does not mean, so when we get a big up day, it does not mean that there's a bunch of people that all of a sudden decided, okay, there's no problems, everything's rosy. It just means that there's enough money that has a sense that, okay, we've just gotten too pessimistic and too far on the downside. And that maybe it's not going to be that bad. I mean, the market at current level, the S&P 500, I think, has dropped roughly a third in value. I didn't run the numbers right before this call, but it's like 32-33% somewhere in there at the worst point. We're still a little above the worst point right now, but market's moving right now, as I'm speaking, so who knows where it'll be in an hour from now. But so it's just, you know, it gets oversold short term. So there's kind of short term money and longer term money. So occasionally it just gets like a rubber band that's stretched too tight and snaps back some. And I mean, one of the things that comes into play here that I often tell clients is that the stock market is a forward looking indicator. And so that means that the stock market will move before the news typically. And so I would fully expect that, at some point the medical news is going to brighten up. You know, we don't know exactly how far down the road that's going to be now. That's the uncertainty. Don't know if, you know, it's obviously not going to be entirely clear in the next few weeks, but, you know, the hope is, I guess, best case scenario, you know, it's obviously not going to be gone in a few weeks, but perhaps in the next few weeks we'll have some sense of, okay, we kind of know what the worst is going to be. We've still got to finish going through it, but at some point there'll be a sense that, and clarity that, okay, we're heading out of the woods rather than into the woods. You know, we're not out of the woods yet, but at least we're closer to being out than coming in. And so once there's a glimmer of hope like that, or the big institutions start sniffing that out, you know, they'll start buying stocks. And so the stock market will move higher typically before the actual news starts getting a lot better.
Mm-hmm. Jeff, you sound pretty optimistic about it. You know, when I hear you say, you know, in a month or two, things really could be looking up.
Well, I mean, in general, I'm optimistic that I think we, in the sense that, you know, we know a lot of the bad news. You know, the question is, you know, we know California's pretty well shut down. We know as of today, New York's pretty well shut down. There'll likely be other states and other areas. And, you know, we know all that. And the market is where it is. So the question is, could it get even worse, you know, even beyond what we're expecting now? And anything's possible. You know, that's the other thing I tell clients. You know, I don't know for sure.
Yeah.
So I make recommendations and give advice based on what I believe. And I'm obviously no expert on the medical front. I read a bunch of stuff. But but I know, I guess I tend to be optimistic in general, this will come to an end. You know, we just don't know exactly when, and life will get back to normal. Now, it'll be a while before the economy gets all the way back, but there'll be an initial step back, and at some point, over the next few months or whenever, you know, people will be getting back to work, and what will happen, it'll be funny. I mean, well, it's kind of funny, it's not, and I, you know, I can almost guarantee you what will happen. So ask me about 6 or 8 months from now. Anyone feel free to ask me about this. 6 or 8 months from now, when I'm talking to clients, clients are going to be telling me on the phone, you know, I thought about calling you back in March when everything was falling apart, and I thought, man, that's a great time to buy. Of course, they'll tell me that 6 or 8 months after they did not do it. It's one thing to, you know, it's one thing to say that in hindsight, but, you know, when the bullets are flying and everyone's panicking, no one wants to do it. So,
well, gentlemen, I'll tell you, the minutes have really ticked by very quickly, and I like your statement, Jeff. Maybe this is a good thing to end on, that this will come to an end. Fred will be giving a meditation next that I'm hoping that you will listen to after this conversation ends. And he'll be giving a biblical perspective on the current crises that we are facing. But Jeff, I just wondered if you could say a word or two about how your faith makes a difference in how you look at all of this.
You know, a couple of verses have come to my mind or kind of refreshed my mind in recent days is a verse in Ephesians 1 that talks about how you know, God had raised Jesus from the dead and put all things under his feet. And so, you know, Jesus is Lord, Romans 10:9. You know, confess with your mouth or believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. Now shall be saved. And I think that saved includes more than just eternal there. I think saved has to do, I think in the New Testament the word saved often relates to here and now, saved from the corruption of the world, you know, Acts 2, save yourselves from, or be ye saved from this untoward generation. And so I think it's important to be verbal, you know, in our prayers and our conversations with other people or just driving in the car by yourself to affirm, yes, Jesus is Lord. He is in control of this. Yeah. And also the verse about perfect love cast out fear, that obviously easy to be fearful right now. But we have a Heavenly Father that is in total control and loves us more than we can even imagine. And so it's a little bit, you know, most all of us have had the experience of seeing, you know, if you didn't have your own, you've seen other little children be frightened at times. But the parent knows, okay, everything's still in control. And so we have a loving Heavenly Father that is in control. And, you know, if we could see everything and know all the details, then we wouldn't, you know, there'd be no faith involved. And so the comfort comes in spite of the turmoil and the waves and the storm and all that. So we are loved by our Heavenly Father more than we know.
Well, thank you so much for sharing that, Jeff, and Fred, for being part of this. And Fred, we look forward to hearing your meditation. Goodbye, everyone.